Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello, and thank you for joining me today. Today is a Conversations with Carol show, and what that means is there's no specific topic. It's just you and I talking and me sharing my medical intuitive skills and just having a great fun with each other and just being able to just laugh, scratch, and giggle, as my mother used to say that that's what life is all about. And boy, is that true right now with all of the energy and everything that's going on. So because it is a Conversations with Carol show today, I'm going to be taking your calls throughout the entire show. So if you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in U.S. and Canada. And even for international callers, I get calls from all over the world. But all you have to do is, if you're an international caller, is call, dial your calling code and then 877-230-3062. So I always start out the conversation with Carol's shows with some little bit of tidbit. And I just couldn't help but start the show out today that way as well, because on July 25th, which was just Monday, we actually ended a cycle and we've entered into another cycle. And all of life are ebbs and flows, and they're all about cycles and everything. But this cycle has been very, very different from the standpoint that the ebb, or the lull, as I call it, that we've been in, really lasted longer. It lasted basically 4.5 months. And many times when we get these different kinds of energy shifts or these attunements, they may last 5 days, 7 days, maybe a month, but 4.5 months is a long time. And part of the reason for that length of time is that in that lull, as I call it, is that it's a time for us to regroup. It's a time for us to be able to step back, look at where we're headed, is being sure that it's where we want to be headed, looking at what we've done, beginning to savor some of our accomplishments. We're so busy being busy with our lives that we forget a lot of times that what we really need to do is to just kind of stop and take a pulse check, or to even, you know, sit back and just kind of feel good about the things that we've done. We have been very, very busy on that energetic and spiritual level, but many times the accomplishments in those areas go unnoticed. So in this particular 4.5 month lull, what we've had a chance is to go in and look at all the work we did in 2010 about resolve and letting go and going into that movement of resolution and literally cleaning out closets in a metaphoric way. And we entered into 2011 that way. And then in March, we hit this lull. And again, that's just so we can step back and look at where we are. But in this lull, as in all lulls and all flows, we have points where there's a lot of movement, a transition time, and then no movement. But when I say that, I really have to be very honest. We're always in movement. We're never static. We're never stuck. That only happens in our mind. But in this 4.5 months, we entered into the quiet time reflection. We entered in May, where we hit that transition where it's like, okay, I'm ready to start moving again. The movement started picking up. We started actually implementing some of the things that we've been wanting to do, making changes. And then as we ended this cycle, July 25th, everything now is quickening. And what that means is that what you start and what you finish is going to happen in a more timely manner, meaning that you're going to be able to really measure your progress a lot more. And in a more definitive way. So what we've been doing is that we're entering into this flow again. The flow always has movement to it. It started out faster than when it normally does in the cycle. So you can see that there's all kinds of changes that are going on in this quickening that the Maya calendar talked about, and so many different astrologers are talking about, and all the wonderful information that's out there that says evolution of consciousness is in a quickening time. So we're entering into this, and the momentum's going to pick up. One of the things that's really important in this time is for you, if something just kind of doesn't feel right or you're feeling out of sync with yourself, then it's really very valuable for you to just stop, take a breath, ask yourself what just happened, be sure it's where you want to go, don't wait until we have to hit that next ebb or that next lull, because what we're doing is the momentum is picking up for the attunement that's going to be happening October 25th. And that's when all of the things that we've been working on for so long in our life are really going to move at such a fast pace, kind of like what I call that centrifugal force process, that we're going to feel like we're spinning. And what we're doing is we're going to be throwing off a lot of the minutia of our conditioning, a lot of limiting thoughts, and we're going to feel a lot freer, a lot lighter. That's really an exciting time in the evolution of consciousness. There's so many new beginnings. However, we want to be sure that when we hit those places that we really are sure of where we want to go. I've been getting so many different emails from listeners and people that are interested in where the energy shifts right now is, and what, you know, why can't they seem to find that passion that they're looking for and so forth. And one of the things that I share all the time is go back in, and like everything else in life right now, go back in and revisit, what does passion really mean to you? What are you looking for? Are you looking for the passion that you just get those moments of excitement where your, you know, adrenals are beating the tom-tom and you're just so darn excited you can't help yourself? Or is it the time where you're going to be getting that magical aha? But important for you to know that. As we're going into this energy shift of this enlightenment consciousness, I keep getting reminded by the song of Journey, Don't Stop Believing. And that's really where it is right now. If you find yourself, you know, not sure of your direction, or you can't find anything that replaces maybe the passion that you had, then spend this time in this movement of looking. Go searching. It's like going on a treasure hunt in your life and looking at what you would really like to find yourself doing. And then don't stop believing in your dreams. Don't stop believing in the path that you're taking. Just systematically get up every day, and every day take a step to move forward to what you desire. And then the more you do that, the more you believe in yourself, the more you trust your instincts, that's that finding your own way energy of 2011, then the easier it will be for you to move into this momentum in a way that you will really be able to have fun. When I was kind of preparing for the show today and I was thinking about that, I was immediately taken back to the movie Finding Nemo, and when the turtles are basically in the great current that basically runs underneath the ocean, and you have all these turtles in there and everybody's high-fiving and twisting and turning and having a great time and saying, hey, dude, and all these different things. That's what this energy is all about. This energy is about allowing. It's about going with the flow. It's about don't stop believing. It's about allowing yourself to be who you are, authentic, and then to be able to allow that authenticity to come into expression. So perfect, perfect time. You, none of us are going to miss the train. We're not going to get, you know, find ourselves standing behind and waiting for the next train to come. We're all on this whole evolution of consciousness. We're all in the move, in the groove, and very, very, very exciting times. But again, important, stop. When you feel those moments of out of sync, stop, take a deep breath, look around. Is this where you want to be? That's a question to ask yourself. All right, let's just jump right in and take Deborah from Utah. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Hi, Carol. It's me again.
Yes, it is, honey. So are we still working on that neck?
Yes, because last time after I talked to you, I went to work and I looked down to the left, which is the direction that I've had several neck injuries. My neck's been twisted that way.
Uh-huh.
And it cracked really loud.
Yep. Yep. So can I jump in real quick? And I want to tell you about what that crack is, honey.
Okay.
Is, and then we'll pick it up from there. Whenever we hear a crack or a popping in the spine itself, I know the first thing the mind says, OMG, something really bad has happened. But a lot of times we get a lot of air, or we get a lot of pressure points within the vertebrae themselves around the disc. And what it is when we turn our heads or we work with someone that's going to basically be helping us align the spine, what they're really doing is they're really allowing that kind of what I call that air cushion, that in those pressure points, to be released. So when I first go in and you said, oh my gosh, Carol, I heard this crack, I wanted to let you know that your body is comfortable holding its your head a certain way. And when you move your head a way that's opposite of what it's comfortable with, then you're most likely going to hear something that's going to sound really melodramatic and something that's going to be a concern. But I can tell you, sweetie, is it threw your spine off, didn't it?
I don't know, because I actually had a slight memory come up of something that didn't happen in this lifetime, and it could be yep. symbolic, and then I looked down, and then it went crack.
Yep. So, in that particular case, and we'll pick this up because this is a great time for us to talk about things like this. So, in that process, when it went crack, what it did, sweetie, is it realigned the spine. And what you may find is the muscles that have been really very controlling of holding the spine a certain way based on those old injuries, then what's going to happen is those muscles are going to rebel. They're going to try to twist and turn and reestablish or reset the spine back where it was. So if you find that you have any discomfort, then what you'll want to do is maybe you'll want to put some Tramiel or something that's going to relax the muscles, some ice or something. It's called Tramiel. Again, for all my listeners, I don't get any kind of, you know, kickbacks for anything that I share on the show. Important for me to tell you that because it just comes from experience of working with physicians and allopathic and with alternative. It's called Tramiel, T-R-A-U-M-E-E-L. And it's a homeopathic topical cream that you put on an area that has inflammation or has a tightness or maybe a sense of injury about it. And what it'll do is it gets absorbed into the skin. It actually relaxes the muscle. When it relaxes the muscles, then the muscles stop pulling on the spine the way it needs to. There's other products like Arna Flora, and there's other products like Sombra, S-O-M-B-R-A, a lot of healthy things that we can use as a topical muscle relaxant. And one thing to remember is everything we put on our skin has to be processed by the liver the same as anything we put in our mouth. So what I'm picking up, sweetie, is that the spine is trying to readjust. It's trying to balance your head. It's trying to get the atlas seated the where it needs to, because that's where your old memory is, isn't it, sweetie?
Yeah, I've had some neck injuries by men who are a little bit egotistical. Let's just say the one was showing off, and I didn't ask him to twist my neck, but he thought he was a chiropractor, and he wasn't. I was asking for something else, and he thought it was cool to twist people's necks, and the other one was a cop boyfriend that got threatened by me.
Yep.
Telling him that I didn't appreciate his behavior.
Yep. You know what? You are a courageous soul, aren't you?
Well, I keep stepping in front of the train, so I just stay away from men because apparently I'm not attracting the ones that are treating me nice. And so sometimes I just get in their face and say what I finally can't take it anymore, and I just got in his face and told him what I thought, and he didn't like it.
Yeah, that does happen a lot, doesn't it, sweetie?
Yeah, I put up with it, and then finally when I can't take it anymore, I didn't realize he was going to be that dangerous.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, that's that kind of that love is blind type syndrome. But let me go back in and say to you as I'm touching and your soul just opened up to me, is that this lifetime is all about expression. It's all about, you know, being in your skin. It's about courage. It's about trusting your instincts. And you really are a model. I know that the path that you've taken has not been one that has been pleasant by any means. I can feel that so much into your body. But I can tell you that at least you do stand tall, and that's what your body's trying to do right now. You have found your voice. And in finding that voice, then it will allow you to be more clear in what you want from life instead of just taking the scraps that life throws you, sweetie. Now, let's talk about that past life, because I think that when I said just taking what life throws you as far as scraps, there's a lot of metaphor in what you realized in the past life around that particular statement, isn't there, sweetie?
I almost feel like I kept attracting the same neck injuries over and over.
And do you have a sense of why you chose that? You're doing that, honey?
I don't know. Maybe to clear it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It isn't about karma that is bad. We don't come back with bad karma. We come back with work that we want to do in this particular lifetime to be able to not only help refine our own selves and grow personally, but also to be of service to others. And in the process of each one of the experiences and relationships we have, we really relish the good ones. We learn mostly from the ones that are bad ones, I'm going to use that term, or the abusive ones, because they are the ones that really force us to go deep inside and to be able to find our truth. That's the gift of who you are in this world, is to be able to come in and to find that truth and to speak that truth. So when I go in with the past lives, it isn't that you came in, you did come in to refine, and I will say clear old past patterns, but what you did in this lifetime, you took a female body, very courageous of you. You don't feel like you're very big when I feel you in your physical body, yet you feel huge and gigantic in your energy body, sweetie. And
I
then
do.
What you,
as I'm
you,
I feel like I don't have a lot of courage. I'm just shaking.
Oh, no.
But I have memories that I don't know if I've picked up from being an empath or if they really happened to me or if they're just symbolic, but they're really traumatic ones.
Yes. So let's go in and let me tell you how your soul sees you.
Okay.
Your soul sees you as this big force of light that has a tremendous amount of power. When you step into that confidence and you step into that power, you make a difference in people's lives. The pattern that you came here to change is the pattern of abuse that we all experience to any degree. Again, how courageous you are. The fact that you will step into your power, even not knowing what the outcome is going to be, is really a very courageous soul. So in this process of you stepping into your power, speaking your truth, allowing that authentic part of you to come forward, you're bigger than life, honey. So in this process that you've been in, that's the way your soul, as I see you when I touch your soul, that's what I see. Where you are now is that, honey, you've kissed a lot of frogs to get where you want to go. I feel that you're questioning whether you really even need a relationship. I didn't say want one, but need a relationship from the standpoint that you really can be very self-sufficient. You really do enjoy your own company. You would like to have the freedom to be able to move the way you would like to. That's a part of the process
really
of the night.
You are really good.
No. Well, thank you. I am going to take that. But I'm going to tell you are really good. This is what you tell people, sweetie. This is what you show to people. The thing is it's gotten buried underneath all of the things that have happened in your life to the point where it's hard for us when we're at the bottom of the mountain to realize that we can get to the top. Every one of us does this. And through who you are and what you do, you inspire us. You know, I mean, whether the inspiring is like, wow, I don't want to do what Deborah did. I mean, that's inspiration. Or it can be like, oh, my gosh, I can do what Deborah did. I don't have to stay in abusive situations. But your soul's work, honey, here is to really right the injustices, to be able to really come in and to be an advocate for truth, to be able to come in and to stop the abuse that all of us experience. And we all experience it to some degree. But you're here to stop that. And every time you do that, honey, whether it's a little tiny baby step or it's a big giant step, you make a difference in the field. You make a difference in your energy, and you send out this vibration to all of us that says, you know what, there's hope. I mean, gosh, if little Deborah can do this, Carol can do this, or, you know, Michelle can do this, or whatever else names there are. Please look at what's happened in your life and some of the things you're picking up. Let's shift the energy around that. Let's shift it to look at the symbolism.
Okay.
Instead of looking at the event.
Okay.
And if you look at the symbolism and doing that, my sense is, Deborah, you're going to be able to find those small little steps you've taken to get you to where you are today. In the past life, it was a symbolism. In the abuse that you've experienced, it was a symbolism. If it is important for you, sweetie, to go in and to really rectify in your own mind whether these abuses really happened or not, in order for you to be better at doing your work, to be more truthful to with yourself, to trust yourself more, then I encourage you, sweetie, to work with someone to be able to do that. My sense is that if you look at it from the symbolism of the experiences you've had and the memories that you've had and the past life that you have, then you'll be able to start measuring your progress from where you've been to where you are now. I really do believe that.
All right. I'm not sure that I'm only getting a tiny sense of what you mean, but yeah, it's more of the big energy rather than whether it really happened to me or not.
Absolutely. What is it symbolizing? What story is it telling you? Is it a story in the symbology that you can help other people? You know, we are here to be of service, aren't we?
Yeah, I just don't know how to use it for that is what I don't understand. I don't know how to help other people. In fact, I have a lot of coming up right now. If I help people, I'll regret it.
Well, let me tell you how easy it is. You were the first caller today.
Mm-hmm.
You got through. It took a lot of courage to be on air where I literally have thousands of people listening to your story, honey. I have thousands of people listening to you and I dialoguing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, sweetie, you will make a difference.
I see.
And it was something as simple and lovingly calling me so you and I can spend this time so we can talk and share, experience, love, forgive, all the things we do. So you're doing it. It doesn't
Thank
have
you.
To be hard. One thing I would like to close this, sweetie, because you're going to process this as part of the energy of where we are now as well. Things are going to happen quicker. One of the things that you can do, honey, with your neck, because being empathic, I just went in and your neck just literally let me know where you are. And the muscles on the left side are pulling very, very tightly. The muscles on the right side are trying to accommodate. They're pulling very tightly to try to pull you the other direction. One of the things that you might do is you might use some warmth. Maybe get yourself one of those, you know, neck pillows that you could heat. You could use a warm cloth. And what you'll want to do is you'll want to rotate between warm and cold and warm and cold. Warm will basically relax. Cold will help as far as removing the inflammation in what you're experiencing. One of the things that I say to you is stand tall. You're a great big warrior. You have a beautiful, compassionate heart. If you stand tall, then your head will get on straight, sweetie. Literally, your muscles will stop fighting each other. That's what I'm really picking up.
Thank you.
You are welcome. So, baby steps, all right?
All right. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome, my love. Thanks for being on the air and sharing your story.
Thank you.
All right, let's go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and squeeze in one more caller before I go on to a commercial break. Is this Kaya from Arizona? Is that how you pronounce it? Kaya. Hi, Kaya. Sorry about that, sweet pie. So how can I help you, honey?
Oh, Carol, I was involved in a really bad motor vehicle accident 7 months ago. So I wondered if you could check in with my body, and then if I could also talk to you about kind of the new path I was swerved onto.
Yes, you know what? This is going to sound really strange to start the time that we spend together, but you know what? As difficult as it was, this was literally a blessing in disguise because it did start you in a different direction.
Yes.
So that's the first positive thing. Okay, checking in with the body. In the lower hip area, your lower back area, you have a memory of tensing up like you were going to be hit in the backside. Did somebody broadside you and then hit you in the back end as well?
I was hit twice. I was hit by someone who decided to travel eastbound across the northbound freeway I was on.
Right.
And so the first impact, I saw them coming, so I started the car turning right. So instead of a head-on, it was on the front driver's side, and then the impact, the force of the impact, because it was a huge truck that hit me, swung me into them again. And then I was hit by the airbag, so there were three big impacts.
Okay, so good. Thank you for validating that, and then I'll talk about the airbag, because that's not where your body took me right away. The memory in your lower back around your hip area, lower back in the lumbar part, has a memory of tensing up because you could see what was happening. And
yeah.
As a result, anytime you get into any situation, sweetie, whether it's, you know, in related to the accident or not, anytime you get into a situation right now that you can see something that's going to happen, it can be stress or it can be something that was said, your lower back is going to really tighten up. Your muscles are literally trying to protect your lower back and the spine from the twist that happened. So one of the things that you can do is you can go in and really work with those lower back muscles. There's certainly things that we can do physically. Have you started any kind of stretching? Are you working with, you worked with a physical therapist, it feels like.
I'm in physical therapy, chiropractor, myopractor, an orthopedic doctor, a neurologist.
Okay.
I'm all teamed up.
Okay.
I'm just started massage work. I'm just at a point where my body could even handle that.
Exactly. And remember, everything that's been happening is happening because it's trying to protect you. That's the first thing to remember, because the job of the muscles, especially with back and neck injuries, its job is to be sure that nothing happens to that spinal cord and all the nerves within it. So the first thing is it's just doing what it's designed to do. The fact that it still has that memory is something that's going to have to be reprogrammed. It's, again, that part, you know, a lot of people don't see an accident coming the way that you did.
Yeah.
So anytime you get into a stress situation, that's going to tighten up. There's things that you're doing with the physical therapy that feels like it's really, really helpful for you, because what it's doing is it's reestablishing the core muscles down in that pelvic floor the way that you need to. And what that's going to do is it's going to help not only the glute muscle, but it's also going to help those little tiny pencil thin muscles that are what helps keep the spine upright in the way that it needs to. The glute muscles allow the sacroiliac joint, this pelvic girdle, to move from side to side. The other thing is, as I can tell you, is that when it feels like you've got a lot of tension in your right knee. Is that accurate?
Yes, I took a huge hematoma there. My right leg was numb for about 2.5 months. I've regained a lot of the sensation in that leg and that foot, not all of it. I'm on a medication to block the nerve pain. But yes, that was a big impact area.
It was. And I just have to kind of throw in a little woo-woo here, honey.
Okay.
The knee chakras, we have chakras in the knee chakras. We don't hear much about them, but they are really as major and as important as the seven chakras in the body. The knee chakras they hold the energy that we have and the beliefs and the emotions around self-abandonment. And one of the things that I pick up is that you've always stepped forward. That's that right foot. You've always stepped forward in your progression and moving forward and putting yourself out there in the world. And in that memory, in that knee area, you have a lot of memories of some work, some didn't. And what is coming up now is for you to realize that where you're going, the direction you're headed, is really the direction that you want to be going. I'm not sure, we'll spend a little more time, but I'm not sure that it's still refined enough that you're able to say, this is where I really want to be. But it's in that progression process. So in the injury to the right knee, it was kind of like jarring your whole body, jarring your whole life, jarring the self-abandonment, all the things that you've done that you regret, or the things that you did that you wish you could have, should have, would have, and all the different things. What it basically did is it, again, jarred that knee to bring attention to the fact that it's okay to put yourself out there for all of us, you in particular, but we have to be sure that the direction we're headed is literally the direction that we want to go. So when I go into that right knee, I've still got a lot of tendon issues that are going there. The pain medication you're on is fabulous, sweetie. I wouldn't stop it. Because what it's doing is it's stopping those messages while those muscles and the bones themselves reset themselves the way that they need to. There was enough trauma that it feels like the knee got twisted inward really a lot, and then the ankle got twisted outward. So we've got to have time for those bones to reestablish. Some of those tendons and some of the little micro tears that are put in there have got to also be reestablished. The orthopedic guy is working just wonderful on that. The physical therapy is building that core.
I've got tendon issues, and I'm in a cast on my right arm. I've had screaming pain in my right wrist and tendon issues. And I was wondering how long it's going to take for these things to resolve. And I have to ask because time is going to run out. I feel like I left my body but decided to come back and live.
You did.
And it was kind of like I was walking dead for a while.
You were. You touched the other side.
Yeah.
That's why I said to you the direction you're headed is the direction that you want to go. It just hasn't refined itself. You're still coming back. And, you know, when we come back from the near-death experiences, you and I both have, we come back almost with this unspoken belief that we should not have to necessarily experience to remember what we experience when we touch that life on the other side. But what it does is it requires us to experience something to trigger that memory. So in that particular case, you actually did, sweetie. You touched the other side. That's part of the frustration about the fact that things aren't healing as quickly. The tears that you have in the tendons themselves are really healing very nicely. I'm not picking up bone spurs or calcification in those areas, so this is all very favorable. The right wrist is all about writing. It's about speaking. It's about getting your message out there. That's part of where your new work is. And that's been part of your work in the background, but now you've got to step forward. So a lot of metaphors with your body. So everything that you're doing that I'm picking up is really working for you. The massage will really work for you because what it's going to do is it's going to really release a lot of the toxins that are building up in the muscles because of the lack of mobility that you're experiencing through the way your body is working. So that's helping. So everything you're doing is working fine. Time running out. Wow, that's a big one. Time running out. When I touch that, I go to the soul and the soul goes, no, it's not running out. When I go to your body, and is it finances that you're concerned about?
Oh, when I said time running out, I meant you going to break. I was concerned we were going to
cut off. Well, you've got more. Oh, honey, we're fine. That's one thing about my wonderful producer, Mr. Cameron. He is so flexible with me. I absolutely love this.
Well, Carol, let me ask you. I sustained, before the accident, I was doing very, very mental work, very stressful job, very mental work. Yes. That's been my career, and I do love to write. Thank you for that affirmation. I sustained a head injury. In fact, we just had some intensive tests last week to get the extent of where the brain injuries are. That really stressed me out because I've made my living with my beautiful brain. Do you see what's going on with my brain and anything you want to
It's remapping
tell me?
Itself. It's remapping itself. It's figuring out how to work around the injuries itself. I've got you know, part of the thing is some of the episodic memory that you have, that kind of everyday memory, is a little bit fuzzy right now. That's probably a really good thing, sweetie, because in that you won't get caught up in those same old patterns. But what I'm picking up is that you are neurologically rewiring yourself, remapping yourself, as I call it, the nerve synapses. You're basically bypassing things. You're much more visual than you were before. You're much more sensitive in your body than you were before. Both of those qualities will help you bring into expression different aspects of truth about it that's going to be very, very helpful. There is an area of the brain, it feels like it's, I have to go in because it's really deep. Left side, probably mid-center, left side toward the cerebellum, kind of tucked underneath the cerebellum, down where the brain stem is. Is that where the neurologist is working?
You know, they did this, you would know this, very extensive six-hour testing last week to check attention span and spatial relationships, and I had the sense from that doctor that it is very deep. I've had MRIs and CTs and EEGs, which suggest some damage on the left side.
Right.
My sense, right, too, is it's deep in, and my sense also is that I'm remapping. I just am a different person than I used to be. I listened with great interest to your last call about courage. Before this accident, I had unlimited courage, and I'm feeling so cautious these days. Cautious and, you know, more of a worrier, anxious, some traits which I've never had and don't wish to move forward with.
Okay, so let's deal with that very, very quickly, because, again, you're sharing a lot of things with the listeners with where the energy is right now. Let's change the word caution to discernment.
Okay.
And what you're doing is the courageousness has never left you. In fact, you have a different form of courageousness about you now, but you have, because of the experiences in your life, as with my last caller, and then also with touching the other side. Now what you're doing, sweetie, is you're weighing where you want to put your time, where you want to put your energy. Is this moving you in the direction that you want to? In that courageousness that we're conditioned with as children, we're told to pick ourselves up by the bootstrap, keep moving forward, never rest on our laurels, all the wonderful things that are really very, very helpful to us, except in this time of this shifting of consciousness, that kind of courageousness keeps hitting us. It causes us to continue to hit those proverbial brick walls that we do over and over again. This energy that we're in now is about moving forward. We're into that momentum, but it's about enjoying it, allowing it. It's about using discernment, asking ourselves when we find ourselves in places that don't feel right to us, is this where I want to be? Is the outcome what I would like it to be? And then if we do that, the answer comes back no, then we're better off staying where we are than we are stepping back into old patterns, aren't we? There's the metaphor for your body. There's a metaphor for the right leg. Don't step into old patterns where you abandon yourself. You know, don't write what somebody else has written. Write your own truth. Find your own words. The fact that it's on the left side of the brain and remapping that part is that the words and the way you put sentences together and the emotions that you're going to bring forward in the things you write, honey, you're going to just be absolutely eloquent and exquisite in the way they're going to be brought forward. They're going to talk to the heart. They're not going to talk to the head. That's what your job was before. It was like, talk to the head, talk to the head. Now what I'm hearing about you is feel the heart, talk to the heart, love the heart, be the heart. Those are the things I'm picking up with you.
So I felt very compelled to write a book about my accident. It was so dramatic, my story, and also to take my photography. I have a website to take that to a different level, and it sounds like everything you're getting really supports that.
Absolutely. The only thing I will say as you were talking about all of this is that what you're going to write may start out as your accident, but what you're going to write is about what you learned on the other side. And then your photography and your story will be exactly what is needed at this time for all of us.
Wonderful. Thank you.
You are most welcome. So I'm going to go ahead, take a very quick commercial break, and then I'm going to be right back. I've got a couple more callers. I'm going to try to squeeze you all in. Stay tuned.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the hosts and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me, today is a Conversations with Carol Day, and I'm having a wonderful time taking your calls and sharing my medical intuitive skills and just chatting. This is a show that I love to do. I do it at the end of each month, and it's a chance for us to just basically get in and talk with each other. The two callers that I've been working with, lots of messages there for all of us. Very, very courageous souls to do this. So I want to thank both of you for doing that. I also would like you to know that I all have just a couple more readings that are available in August. So if you've been wanting to do a reading with me, it's a perfect time to go in. You can go to my website at www.ritberger.com. And book a reading with me, and we'll get to spend an entire hour being able to just share and be able to answer your questions. So, again, you can go to www.ritberger.com, just a couple more readings that are available. So if you've been wanting one, it's a great time for us to be able to spend time. All right, let's go in because this is about taking calls. Let's go in and take, is it Philippia from Vancouver?
Oh, good morning, Carol.
Good morning, sweetie. Thanks for calling me all the way from beautiful Vancouver.
Well,
oh, my gosh.
It's not so beautiful today, but good morning. It's lovely to talk to you. Carol, I was wondering if you might be able to help me. I, a couple of years ago, started to have some problems with my hands, started to get very hot, and then I was diagnosed as having psoriasis on both palms of my hands. Just the palms, and one little patch on my right foot, on the top part of my foot. And, of course, the dermatologists just give you cortisone cream, but I'm wondering if there is sort of a deeper, more spiritual meaning for this occurrence that hasn't gone away.
Right, right. Well, and the other thing, it's not my place to validate or not, but I am going to say that the diagnosis that you have is an accurate one.
Is psoriasis, accurate?
It is accurate. It is a form of psoriasis.
Okay.
And psoriasis in this particular, psoriasis is part of the autoimmune disorder, sweetie. Anything that happens with the skin, what the heat is telling you is that you have an inflammation in your body, meaning that your immune system is being overreactive. And what it's doing is it's creating an inflammatory response, and that inflammatory response is then creating the outbreaks on the skin itself. That's okay. Basically what psoriasis is.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's on your hands and it's on your feet, the symbolism of that is that one of the things that I pick up with you, and because it's in the palms, we have, and where it is on the foot, we have chakras in the palms of our hands. These
yes.
chakras are how we take in information. Now, we think of we take information in the right hand and we heal with the left hand, but you're different, sweetie. Everything about you is different. What you do is you take in information through the left hand. What that means to me, sweetie, as I read you, is that you connect with people at a soul level. And when you connect with them at a soul level, then you're able to connect with them at a physical level. So by your left hand and the energy being how you receive information, it allows that information to go immediately into your soul to connect with them at, from a soul level. And then your right hand is what I call your healing hand. And so one of the things that you can do is that in those chakras themselves, think of the heat buildup as the chakras as not being open. I need to be really clear. They never close. They just decrease frequency. And in both of your hands, the frequency in both of your hands is decreased. I can find that decreasing of the energy up into your shoulders, and I can find that energy decreasing also and the spine in the brachial plexus, specifically C6T1 in your vertebrae. And what that's saying is that your heart has this feeling about it, but those feelings aren't being brought in energetically. They're not being interpreted maybe as clearly as you need them to be. I don't see it as being a long-term process. That you're going to get stuck into this place where the psoriasis is going to be there forever. It feels like it's just a kind of a moment, place, and time that you're going through. So one of the things you can do is you can take cool water. You could take ice if you really wanted to. And you could move it around in your hands, in your palm, kind of like you're washing your hands with a bar of soap. That'll help cool down the inflammation. It'll send the message to the brain to stop the inflammatory response to the immune system. It will actually cool the heat in those in the chakras, and it'll allow those chakras to increase their frequency.
Oh, wow.
How are you going to know that that's happening? You're going to feel more energy in your little finger on your left hand.
Okay.
That one feels like it doesn't have as much energy or sensitivity to it as if I were to go in to the first, your index finger.
Okay.
So you'll be able to feel it through the movement in your hands, the energy in your hands, the tingling in your hands.
Okay.
In your foot, we have chakras at the ball of our feet. In that particular case, what is occurring here is that it's coming in, and I again have inflammation in that area, then that's when I start to get that skin outbreak. If you think of what is happening with psoriasis, is your soul is saying to you, there's something inside that is irritating you, or is an irritation that needs to come to the surface. That's all psoriasis is in my world as a medical intuitive. So when I touch that foot, what it's saying is to you is to take a step forward, but to take a step forward and connect with the souls of people and not get caught up in what's happening physically.
Okay.
So there's a lot of metaphor there as well. When I go in also and I touch that immune system dynamics that you're in, this is all about trusting yourself. You've been working a long time on this. You're getting very, very good at it. But there seems to be a pattern within you that you just don't trust yourself. My sense is it's about believing in yourself. Excuse me for saying it that way, but that's the way it comes out. Believing in yourself that who you are and what you want to do with your life and the healer that you are is really true, and that you can step into that expression of who you are and really trust yourself to be able to be of service, because you start healing with someone at a soul level.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that I'm picking up. The skin is the physical expression. It's the tangible part of our soul that we can touch. When we have skin outbreaks of any kind, then what our soul is doing is trying to metaphorically, symbolically, through where it surfaces on the skin, trying to tell us that what we want, this is the area that we want to work on. This is that we want to take the step forward, that we want to allow the healing qualities of your hands to be brought into expression. That's the empathic part of you, sweetie. And to be able to do that, and then to go in and to see where is that inner irritation. If it's you, then what can you do to get rid of it? And one of the things that you can do to get rid of it is to trust yourself. You know, it's like that song I started out with, Journey. Don't stop believing in yourself, sweetie.
Yeah.
That's what this is about. Now, I do honestly feel that what you're experiencing in your skin outbreak is something that is temporary. I will tell you, I really strongly feel that with you, sweetie. This isn't something that you're going to, it doesn't feel that you're going to deal with the rest of your life.
Oh, good. Okay.
And so what you want to do is feed the immune system the way that it needs to, give it the rest that it needs to. Be sensitive to anything that you use topically that could be creating any form of contact dermatitis that is creating a kind of a clogging of the liver, excuse me, for stumbling. You're using a hand lotion or a body cream that you shouldn't be using. Is that true?
I could be, yes. I could stop using it for a while.
Stop using everything for now.
Okay.
Don't use any skin mist. Don't use any body lotion. I'm picking up fragrance. There's something in the fragrance that is triggering your body to react the way it is. There's an allergen that I'm picking up
okay.
that I believe is probably somewhere tied to this, tied to the psoriasis as well.
Okay.
So in that particular case, I think what we can do is try those things. If it gets to the point where it's unmanageable, then I would be open to just finding out more information about using a corticosteroid corticosteroid to see if it can just give your body the reprieve it needs. I think you can do it without it.
Okay.
But if you find that you do, then just bite the bullet and do it, sweetie.
Okay. And then carry on and explore this healing possibility.
Oh, please do.
Yes.
Please do.
Definitely.
And you know what? You're going to find your exploration is going to start moving into actually doing.
Okay.
And trust yourself when you move into that phase.
Okay. Thank you so much, Carol. It was really lovely to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, too. And thank you for calling all the way from Vancouver. I love you, sweetie.
Okay.
Hi, Sarah
thank
from
you.
New York. Hi,
Bye.
Sweetie. Let's go ahead and try to get you in. I've only got a few more minutes, but let's do it.
Hi, Carol. Thank you for taking my call. My question is regarding my second chakra. I feel it's very unbalanced, and I was wondering if there's anything that I can do to help to balance this. And this was triggered because of 12 years ago, I had a pregnancy termination, and I had one recently. When I get pregnant, I become extremely, extremely negative. And with this last pregnancy, I thought I was going to be very happy, and the same thing happened again. I don't know what's triggering this. I want to know if I'm ever going to be able to bring a pregnancy to full term and what I can do to help this issue.
All right. So second chakra is the chakra that I refer to as the human emotion chakra. It's where we carry the human emotions that are very strong, the frustration, the resentment, the shame, the guilt. It's where we hold worry. And in that second chakra, and we look at our lives, you look at your life and everything, you can see that your life has been a series of events that basically has fostered a lot of those emotions. And in the second chakra, when those emotions come to the surface, the gift of them is there at the surface. It gives us a chance to look at what we're wanting to let go of in our life, transform, and be able to rise above and move beyond. So in what you're doing in the second chakra, so let me see. I've got to get some clarity here because I've only got a few minutes and I want to give you this. So second chakra, what you're doing when the second chakra issues come up is you're getting those deeply buried emotions that are coming to the surface for you to look at, for you to look at the experiences and the relationships associated with those emotions, and then to ask yourself, is it time for you to let them go, or are they still serving you well? If they're still serving you well, then continue to keep them. If they're not, then find ways to let them go. The emotion that I'm picking up in that particular area, my sense is, sweetie, is probably something that happened in the womb. How close are you and your mother?
We're close, but we had a very enmeshed relationship and very codependent.
Yep. So a lot of what you're carrying in that second chakra is what you picked up in your mother around her insecurities and her fears, her fear of abandonment. That's not yours, sweetie. Your big fear that I pick up is the fear of rejection. Anytime you get rejected, sweetie, then what you're going to do is you're going to fall right into the abyss of your mother's emotions of fear of abandonment. So in that particular case, I share that for you so you can look at that. You can say, well, thank you, Mother, for sharing that with me, but that's yours. I'm going to rise above and move beyond that. The other thing with the negativity that you pick up when you go into the experiences of getting pregnant with it. Yes, there's that emotional part that we just talked about. But, sweetie, this is hormones. This is straight hormones. And it throws your hormones completely off balance. That throws your serotonin off balance. And then what we get is now we get a plunge, kind of a plummeting in your emotional stability around that as well. That's exactly
what's
happening, sweetie.
Pardon? Now, would I be able to carry a pregnancy?
Okay. Yep, you will. Absolutely, sweetie. So last thing is, those babies needed to have this wonderful womb. You provided for them, and you did a great job, and congratulate yourself, and enjoy the connection with the child, and that's going to change. I hate to cut this short. I just got the high sign. Light and love to all of you. I will talk to you next Wednesday at 10 a.m. on Contact Talk Radio. Have a wonderful week. See you on the radio. Bye.
You've been listening to The Carol Rideberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.rideberger.com. That's www.rideberger.com. See you soon.